Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
T-Mill on the mic. He rapped about Jesus, bro.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I just saw from Gregory on YouTube and Twitch, any music, anything musical, Paul goes all out. All right. I can't wait. At the bottom of this hour, we've been inspired by Mark Vandermeer, who, as I will take an executive decision, just due to details and different sayings, he won the call-off versus Gus Johnson, who Gus just went into hysteria. He won the call-off, and in the midst of it, he referred to Davis Mills as D. Mills in the building. And because of that, we're inspired. And see, Paul messed up and started to give a few bars, and now I'm going to need Paul to pay that off. And at the bottom of the hour, Paul is going to – he's going to let us know what the inner Davis Mills, a.k.a. D. Mills, D. Nice, is in the building. So that's coming up at 3:40.
I'm going to apologize in advance.
Oh, hell no.
I'm going to apologize in advance because some people might not like this artist. I have to go back to this artist because that's a tease for you. Because it's the only one that I know how to actually sound like.
It's not, I hope it's not R. Kelly.
It's not R. Kelly. I don't want to associate D. Mills with R. Kelly.
Let's not do that.
Even if he did pee on the Jaguars yesterday, yeah, I don't want to associate him with that.
That boy, when that boy Dave Chappelle said, he was really mad. Why are you doing that video of me peeing on everybody? Why did you do a video of peeing on
it?
All right, 713-572-4610. We love to hear from the people, hear from the Drive family, and we have a good time with this. I want to get Paul's thoughts on this first, but be thinking about this. I see you on the text line, Southside Isle. We'll get to you, Robbie, David. We'll get to all of you. But I want you to be thinking about it on this thought. Text line, YouTube, Twitch, you can jump in on this. You feel like this is a springboard game. Right, you look at this, and we've heard it. You hear people always say, "Man, a game like this can really lead to taking off." And you're down 29-10, and then you go 26-0 in the fourth quarter. By the way, this is the second time this year they've done this. They went 20-0 against the Titans in the fourth quarter earlier this year, and they go 26-0 yesterday in a comeback after being down 29-10. Do you get a sense that this is a springboard to the Texans potentially taking off for a run?
It's my hope, and it's for two specific parts. We've touched on this a couple of times. I'm sure we'll go into more detail about it later on, but did they stumble into something with the offensive line? But more importantly, how about the guy that everyone here wants out of town yesterday, and that's Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator. Mm. Two play calls in this game that I really was impressed by. Both of them involved Woody Marks. One of them scored a touchdown. The other got a first down. Can Nick Caley continue what it seemed like he was starting to put together early on against Denver before C.J. Stroud got concussed, what he did against San Francisco, and then, of course, what we saw towards the end of this game when it felt like Davis Mills got into a rhythm? Texans defense, of course, is going to give this offense every single opportunity.
Yes, that's a big part of it.
So it's a matter of can those two catch up? And, yeah, I think it's possible that this game could be a springboard. I don't know how high up the spring launches them, Ron, but there are definitely some positives to take out of this game that are not just about the Jaguars being a bunch of choking dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't get there. I just know they have that stretch. They're going to win the next one. They better, Tyler. They're going to win the next one. But they've got the stretch of home Thursday night football on Buffalo now. That Buffalo Bills team that decided to show up in South Florida yesterday shows up in Houston. You got a shot. But Buffalo, they get that stretch of home Buffalo and then at Indy, at Kansas City. Like that stretch there, that is a tough stretch. Not to mention they've got another home game against the Colts and another road game against the Chargers. Right? They just this first place schedule is coming up and biting them at this point right now. And they just have too many games to where, like, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a great comeback win. But if they play like that against any of those other teams, I don't know that they're going to have the ability to come back. If they go against any of those teams I named, pick first drive to set up near the red zone, fumble on kickoff, set up near the red zone, penalties all over the place, first and goal from the 2, no, first and goal from the 12 because we got back-to-back. Like, if they played that sloppy 15-yard penalties, Lasseter got one, although, come on, guys. Let the kids play. But if they do those things against those other teams, that it's hard for me to say, yeah, man. Like, they're going to – because right now they got to get to 10 wins. I think they got to get to 10 wins to get to the playoffs. And their schedule is just –
It's a rough schedule down the stretch.
It's hard.
But I think there are some games on this schedule that are winnable. The Bills look more winnable because of how they looked against the Dolphins yesterday and because you've beaten them already. The Titans stink. You've also got games down the stretch against teams that do not seem like they have much of a pulse. We're talking about their game against the Raiders. Do you feel the Colts are so far ahead of you that you have no chance against them? Cardinals have basically shut Kyler Murray down for the rest of the season. No,
I didn't say that about the Cardinals and the Raiders.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Yeah, them Doves. You got them.
Those,
yeah, take care of them.
Those you feel good about. So I get what you're looking at, maybe 10 wins. I'm looking at it from, can you overtake the Jaguars, who are now 5-4, and the Steelers, who are now 5-4? Because those teams look like they are falling back. And if you look at it from that perspective instead of, wait a second, we're the 9 seed and the 8 seed Chiefs are on the outside looking in, looking like they've got their mojo back, I think you just need to overtake two of the teams that are ahead of you right now.
Yeah, it's just the Mavs got it.
But you're right on that. 10 makes it a lot of sense.
Because I penciled in Titans, Cardinals, Raiders, right? And that gets you to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to work me
10
three
after
more.
That, it's tricky.
You got to work me 3 more.
How about, will you agree that they'll split with the Colts?
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay.
They could get Buffalo at home. They could get the Chargers on the road. Right?
I feel good about the Chargers game. I think with that offensive line the way that it is right now, where they're throwing bleep at the wall with Trevor Penning, I know they look good against the Steelers last night, but I'd feel good about that matchup just based off of what we saw in January.
Yeah, outside of those three, I don't know what I feel good about. All right, let's jump in here. Robbie, start this thing off. Robbie, man, what's your thoughts? Did you feel like yesterday's game will be something that'll be a springboard for the Texans?
Well, I'm going to go with what Tyler said and say I hope. I'm going to tell you what it did for me,
that's
where
Paul,
I was.
By the way, that's Paul Gallant right now. That's Paul now, not Tyler.
What up?
That's Paul.
Oh, okay, my bad. No, Tyler answered the phone, though.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Anyway, I thought he did. Anyway, I called the post-game show yesterday, and I knew I was going to call the show after Jacksonville got that that long third down where Bullitt came up and missed the tackle. And I knew I was going to call at that point because, to me, at that point, the season ended. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come back and they do that, and you're walking out of the game, and, you know, I go from thinking about the draft and you know, what are they going to do in the draft and all that stuff. I literally started thinking about that at that point. And, you know, I walked out of the game, and just like what y'all went over, what Paul went over and all that stuff, started looking at playoff scenarios again. So I know what it did for me. I don't know what it did for everybody else. And I don't know the psyche of an NFL football team or anything like that. But I do think And I'm hoping like hell that this does lead to some sort of spark, that this thing gets going in the right direction, because it's been about as frustrating of a season as we've had around here in a long time because of the expectations and stuff like that.
Absolutely, Robbie. Appreciate it. Robbie didn't start looking at playoff situations again. Okay, there you go. Hey, 713-572-4610. We'll get to you.
Win like this will do a lot for your psyche.
Yeah, it's the way you won, right? Yeah, the way you won with Davis.
And, with a backup quarterback and an offensive line that was 40% down and that you were juggling in the middle of the game like you're doing it as a bit.
Yeah.
I was going to say. Putting your arm behind your back.
But again, juggling, not due to injury in the middle of the game. Juggling on your own reason.
Your wheel of rando offensive linemen.
Pedro, what's up, man? You think you feel like yesterday's win is a springboard?
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you why. Because we started at 0-3, really tough losses. We're in all the games. Since then, we're sitting at 4-2. If CJ doesn't get hurt against Denver, I firmly believe we win that, and we're sitting at 5-1 since that 0-3 start. If we can win this upcoming weekend against Tennessee, everything that happened is in the past. And we have to remember, we have a leader of men as a head coach, and I guarantee you he's going to sell it as in, listen, we started 0-3. And we have a chance. These next couple games, five of them are against playoff teams. This is, to me, I'm so excited. Like, no matter how this goes, because as bad as we started, we're in the driver's seat, and we have direct control over how this goes going forward. And if this offense can play within themselves and Stroud comes back, guys, we got a puncher's chance, which is all we can ask for after starting 0-3, and I'll hang up and listen.
I like that. Pedro, that's probably one of the best thoughts I've heard is, If CJ didn't get hurt, I believe we'd have won that Broncos game. And I think that's fair to think that at 18-15. Although, guys, the Broncos have this Tim Tebow thing going where they're just pulling. They're just finding ways. I mean, they won on a block punt and then got that guy fired after that. But they won 10-7 in a game. They had no – just played awful. Right, they've got some kind of weird thing going, but I like that because that's the thought of we'd have been 5-1 had CJ been able to finish that, and obviously that didn't happen. We'd have been 5-1 if he would have been able to finish that. So I like that thought process and things. Text line coming in, walk, crawl, Texans do it all.
Man, you corny.
Someone text in. Ron doesn't feel good about winning versus the Chiefs. Color me shocked. Okay, you don't feel good about it. Stop it. You're in a hope. You feel good about the Texans going into Arrowhead and winning the game.
I used to do the exact same thing as you with the Patriots. Can you beat the Patriots? That is the measuring stick you got to hold yourself up to.
Sure. Can they beat them? Sure.
Do you feel great about it?
You don't feel like you're not looking at the schedule and saying, "All right, that's the one I feel good about."
You're nervous.
Yeah, you could say this. Of course,
you could be. You could be cautiously optimistic at best going into that.
You could say, "Man, some things can go the right way." Yeah. No, you don't. You don't feel good about that one. You don't.
I mean, your defense.
That's
played.
Not that. Like if when I'm saying you got to get to 10, that's not one of the ones you're saying. All right, there we go. All right, Colts. Home game, yeah, Raiders, Cardinals, Chiefs, and Arrowhead. No, you don't feel good about that.
Your defense.
Could it happen? Your defense can keep you in. Yeah, but it could happen.
Can your offense move the ball on that Chiefs defense when you've got all the questions you've had all season? I mean, this isn't the Jaguars.
Yeah. The Chiefs schedule came out. Yes, I'm a Chiefs fan. Did I feel, we got that Buffalo one. That's the one. Mark it down in Buffalo again. No, I didn't.
Bundle of rooski
too. No, you don't have to. Silly, you didn't feel that way. Our guy, Southside Al, is this the one that's going to be the springboard? This going to take him off, Al?
I don't know, Ron. We have to see it at this point because you mentioned something when you opened up the line, and I hope everybody listening. And I'm gonna break it down real quick. You were spot on, and you were spot on when you said situations. I give that coaching staff a pity for poor planning for this game. Here we go, 2 weeks in a row. Noel ain't back there returning punts at the gate. Nico Ryan said he made the call last week. And you come back and he need to return my punts every week. And then I have to give Nick Cady a little love, Ron, because that last drive, he ran when people thought he was going to throw. Shout out to Nick Trullo and Woody Marks.
Hey, man, man, hold on, Al. Oh, man. Al, man.
That's Robo Al on this outside.
That's Robo Al. Al. Oh, man, we had to get you when your phone was breaking up, man. And I'm with you, Champ Slice. I love listening to Al every week, too. Let's try it again. Let's see if we can get you in. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah,
we hear you. It's still rough. We'll get you again. But no, hey, that's another point. You talked about you're feeling good about Nick Caley. Nick Caley most definitely was less predictable, and he did it without many offensive linemen and his quarterback. Less predictable on that final drive. I don't know. They had a game plan. They ran that clock all the way down. Maybe didn't see like that drive being that long, but he used it all. And took advantage of everything. So, yeah, man, good for him. Someone texted in, springboard? No, the Texans are like a broken clock right now, only right twice a day. And that's a take. One way. That schedule, that's just a tough one, man.
It's a tough one. But you have a pulse.
You do have a pulse. And you will continue to have your pulse after you get to 500 next week.
And now the hope is that some guys make it through the concussion protocol. And it seems like right now that hasn't happened for C.J. Stroud quite yet. Does that mean we see Davis Mills against the Titans? Does that mean a third straight game in Nashville with the Texans throwing a backup quarterback out there?
Yeah. Text line coming in. Stop it. It's D. Mills. The text line coming in. Woody Marks, the unquestioned starter now. Yeah, I don't know. Again, we don't know. We don't know every week.
They gave him more looks at the very least, so it seems like it's trending that way.
I'm with you. Yeah, just like I don't know if Noel is going to get time next week or not.
Got to get him on the field. I'm sick of this, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out on Christian Kirk. I mean, the first throw that Mills throws to Christian Kirk gets picked off.
But I mean, it could be a deal, Paul, where they play Noel next week and then they don't the week after. Like, it could be next week could be, boy, Nick Chubb was explosive at the end of the game. Let's go Nick Chubb time. Like, they're a game plan offense, and they do this every week. We've talked about it on the show with Clint. Like, they're not a deal of, hey, and I know we got to get out of here, Tyler. They're not a deal of, hey, it's about players, not scheme. They're like, oh, this matchup, this is where we're going to go. And outside of Nico Collins, it could be anybody.
It's my decision.
I know it is. You good? We good. All right, let's get our Man Eye Institute players of the game. There's a lot of people to pick from. 713-572-4610. Text line, you can chime in as well. Who are your players of the game? We'll do that next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Clint Sterner out today. Paul Gallant in for Clint. Clint will be back tomorrow. Remember, we're off early. We're off at 5 o'clock. The coaches show with D'Amico Ryan's coming up behind us. So stay tuned for that. And also, shout out to D'Amico Ryan's. Listen, on this show, we try to be as honest as we possibly can. But shout out to the coach who was going through it yesterday. As he said, his best friend in the post game, his best friend passed away. And as somebody who has recently lost somebody very close, understanding.
I'm sorry, man.
Oh, it's all right, man. Appreciate it. Understanding, carrying that in the same week, going to work, kind of carrying that where your mind can be in a lot of places and can be difficult. So, man, shout out to him. And I hope, you know, he is in the best place possible. But D'Amico coming up behind us. The D'Amico Ryan Show follows us. All right, let's do our Man Eye Institute player of the game. Man Eye Institute, see life better. I see some people checking in with theirs, with their players of the game. Let's go with you, Paul. Who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
Man, got to be Danielle Hunter.
I'm seeing that a lot.
I mean, that was a hell of a performance from top to bottom. 3.5 sacks. Tackles for a loss, quarterback pressure after quarterback pressure. When this Texans offense was doing absolutely nothing, as always, the Texans defense was running the show, and it was Danielle Hunter who was spearheading that. Obviously, you had some nice plays with Derek Stingley, the one-handed interception, Will Anderson, the sack that Sheldon Rankins catches in midair, returns to the house to completely ice the game, but this was the best Danielle Hunter game of the season and arguably the best since he joined the Houston Texans. They needed it yesterday.
Yeah, he was special. There's an argument that he was the best player on the field yesterday. And it's crazy because coming into last week, we never got to it, but I had a thought, like, I'm looking at Daniil, Will, and Stingley. And listen, they're great players. And they have been really, really good this year. They've had moments. But I have been a bit disappointed that they're not impacting the game to the expectations that I have of them. I think Stingley has had some injury stuff, but like that dude was like, nope. I mean, you could count how many times he would get beat the last year and a half. It was starting to happen more. And they would have sacks, Will and Daniil. I think Daniil had, what, four coming in to
right,
yesterday?
Four.
They'd have, but like, too many moments of, man, got to get a stop defense that they were kind of silent at the end of games. And again, they weren't playing poor. I had, like, you got elite level. Like, I'm thinking Will Anderson's about to get Micah Parsons money, right?
Right.
And Daniil is already getting big money. And it was like, man, they impact the game, but you thought more. But this, what we saw yesterday from them, that was the expectation most games.
I get what you're saying. You hold them to a much higher standard than you do with the offense. It's like your oldest genius child.
Well, those two players. When the Bucks came down to the end, the Denver came down to the end, it's like, dang.
You got
to
have that stop. No, I blame them for the Bucks loss. Because the Texans offense had a low bar for them in that game, but they didn't make tackles when they needed to.
Man, I thought somebody would make a play. And yesterday, I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off of them. I mean, Trevor couldn't. They're sitting there like, good God, oh my, and then bam. So I'm with you on that. Yeah, he was fantastic. All right, there's a lot of places you could go. I think Higgins, as I see on the text line, could be one. Give him some love. That was Higgins' best game as a pro. Making some tough catches, using his size. I give it to Davis. Davis throwing the ball up, using his size. He was really, really good. I'm going to go with Arian Tayersley.
Ooh.
Coming into the game, the last time they played, Josh Hines-Allen was Danielle Hunter. Right? Like, Josh Hines-Allen, in the first game they played, he was Danielle Hunter.
Right.
I mean, they couldn't do anything. He's holding them. He's giving up sacks. He's giving up pressures. The last play of the game to end it, he got around Ursary and knocked the ball out of his hand or tipped the ball, which led to the pick that ended the game. He was somebody you just didn't hear a lot about. He had a false start there towards the end. And then the only other times was you said, ooh, look at that big fella moving, you know, as they're getting out and running behind him. But outside of that, man, Hines-Allen did not have anywhere near the impact in this game. And I'll be honest, I didn't really get the sense that Nick Caley and the offensive line did a lot of different things that they adjusted to in this game that they did differently the first time, right? I didn't sit there and see, all right, man, he's just got a tight end in his lap and having to go through two. No, he was over there singled up a lot, and he came to play, and it looked completely different than week three.
For the youngest players on this team, it's a matter of how much of a difference can you make at the end of the year, because you knew there was going to be growing pains for all of them. You're not really going up against real competition as a lineman during training camp. Everything is held back a bit. He has shown some steady progress this season, and I thought he was a deserved player of the game.
I thought he was good against Nick Bonino.
Bonino,
who, I mean, if you watched him against the Raiders, good God, they couldn't do anything with him. He was Danielle Hunter in that game. So, yeah, really, really, really big-time performance from him yesterday, and the rest of that offensive line was good to see him. Good to see him pick things up. All right, coming up, not only will we have weekends best, weekends worst, but this has come to the time as Paul Gallant is going to show us his inner, what the real inner D Mills is. All right, we found out it's no longer Davis Mills. It's no longer
D Mills.
General Mills.
But he is a legend until at least the end of this show.
The legendary status may really depend on this.
Oh. A lot of pressure.
According to Mark Vandermeer, he has become D. Mills, and
we're gonna have to play that call again.
Yeah, we are. We're going to have to. And Paul Gallant is going to throw his name in the hat as he's going to give us some bars that D. Mills would give us. All right, I put it on him. Check that. Don't get creative, Tyler.
I put
a little pressure on him. You know, just kind of threw it at him. He had about roughly an hour to come up with it. We'll hear his version of D. Mills coming up next.
D. Mills gets it done!
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Last time I said, a little Jimi Hendrix here. I had other people on the text line let me know. Yeah, that is Jimmy, but who originally?
Bob Dylan?
Bob Dylan, yeah. Yeah, that's what Bob, the boy, I mean, they got on me. CCR thing I'll never let down. That's fine. Somebody came up to me and we were out Friday. Just walked up to me and said, I cannot believe you didn't know who CCR is.
You don't have Creedence Clearwater Revival?
I got them songs. I didn't know that was the name of the band.
What song was it?
Well, I mean, they had just said the name of the band, and I said, nah, I ain't got them. but I've watched Forrest Gump enough. I've heard.
Of course.
There are countless songs I've heard. I just didn't know. I mean, people was like, man, they're like, that's like not knowing who the Beatles are.
I can't talk trash on that because I don't know any of today's music, but all the old stuff I do know. So I can relate with folks who are older than me.
I've heard this. I've heard this. Who's the man?
We're just not in a chopper. America.
There we go. I didn't have that. All right. We put him on the spot. Paul Gallant, he is in for Clint Sterner. And can you give us a little bit of Mark Vandermeer again? Mark Vandermeer on his call.
So good.
Was apt eclectic, or however you say that word. Help me out, Reggie. But I heard Greg Gumbel say that one time, and I just
apoplectic.
Yeah, there it is. Sure,
that is a Reggie word.
but no, he was beside himself and went for it, and then when he lost his mind, he just came up with the nickname he calls him, which is D. Mills.
37 seconds to go. 29-24. Texans trailing. Third and goal at the 14. Mills. Shotgun, marks to his left, two receivers, wide side right, here's the snap. Davis looking, Davis stepping to his left, Davis on the run, 10, Davis 5, Davis to the corner, Davis! Touchdown, Houston! The Texans take the lead on the Mills scramble! Amazing! D. Mills gets it done!
There it is, so apparently D. Mills is born, and when I hear D. Mills, I feel like, well, D. Mills has 12 bars, easy. And then as soon as I said it, Paul Gallant started up. And I said, hold on. No, we're going to do this right. I gave him an hour. And I said, give me what D. Mills sounds like. I want to hear what D. Mills sounds like. So I'm gonna let you have this, D.
Okay.
Mills. Oh, he didn't put on the jacket.
I put on the jacket. You can pull this for social if you
right
want.
Right here. Come on, B. Scott. YouTube and Twitch. D. Mills in the building. Let's hear it.
When in doubt, go to Creed, because Creed...
Okay, that's an interesting start. All right.
...is the one thing that I can do at karaoke. Okay. We're getting close to it.
Oh, yeah! Yeah, yeah!
All right. We're almost to the beginning of where I can start singing. And a 3, a 2, and a 1.
Hello, my friends, it's me again. It's been a while since you've seen number 10. The Jags, remember? Yeah, they do. You know my next legendary, a tree trunk thicker than the Stanford tree. I'm yelling timber. I am creating a QB controversy.
C.J. Stroud's worst enemy. Second highest paid backup.
That's true.
Stacking bills, making Jags fans want to take pills. Call me D. Mills. I am 3-1 against the Jags.
Second verse, Tyler.
Duval.
I am 3-1 against Trevor Lawrence.
He's standing up.
Call me D. Mills.
And that's it.
That was 14 bars, I think.
That's good.
Thank you. Thank you for putting me on the spot. I would not have had the stones to do that in the middle of a show if not for
you,
Ron.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Hey, I don't know if it was rap. But
no, it was not. Creed, Scott Stapp, don't rap.
But that, you know what? That may be the D Mills. Maybe that is where he's going. Text line coming in. Yo, my guy Paul Gallant is back. There it is. He brought it right there.
That was fun.
He said he made the Jets take pills because I'm D. Mills.
I wanted to do something.
Text line, freaking epic. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch. Understanding the assignment. 1 to 10. How would you grade Paul, a.k.a. D. Mills, Gallant?
I see a couple of people correctly commenting that Creed was hijacked by the Texas Rangers, but I want you to know that I was doing Creed bits here in Houston long before the Rangers stole that. We just hit the post right there. Oh, goodness gracious.
My wife, Courtney, just texted in, just turned on the show. What the hell is happening? D. Mills. D. Mills is happening. D.
Mills. Rob Torres comments, that was more terrifying than watching Trevor Lawrence take off in the fourth quarter.
That was good, man. Put him on the spot, baby. That was less than an hour right there. There it is. Good to go. Like that.
That was fun.
Like that. That might have been my weekend's best. That's pretty good, Tyler. That gets you in the top five right there. Just some of them words, just ready for that bad boy. All right, weekend's best, weekend's worst. While Creed over here, a.k.a. D. Mills, warms it up, I'll go with my weekend's best. Jonathan Taylor.
God.
That dude is something else, man.
He deserves MVP consideration.
It may be a little bit. It may be a little bit more than consideration. Jonathan Taylor, 32 carries yesterday, 244 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 receptions, 42 yards, 47 plus points on fantasy. My two kids are playing each other. One of them had Jonathan Taylor. The other one had the Texas defense. So that Sheldon Rankin's touchdown really, really, really helped out. But man, he's ridiculous. And when you bring up MVP conversation, he damn well should be, because he is, and I'll be damned, we watched Saquon Barkley do this to Daniel Jones. But he is making people think that Daniel Jones is in the MVP conversation. I'm not saying Daniel Jones isn't playing. He is playing his ass off, and he's probably going to find his way to finagle another contract out of the Colts. But people think he's in the MVP race.
Yeah.
And it's because that dude opens up everything. I mean, it was nuts. And yes, the Texans got to see that Joker twice this year. And that is going to be something else.
He's got Derrick Henry stats against them. And you're so right. He is putting Daniel Jones in the MVP conversation.
Like, yeah,
and I know you love Davis. Is it not Davis Mills? I know you love Daniel Jones and all the blood on his lip.
Oh, my God. That was almost my worst.
You were so disgusted in a commercial break talking about
it. Just wipe your damn lips, man. Like, you're not bleeding. You just look like you had Kool-Aid. All right, D. Milly, 9-6 on your performance, Paul Gallant.
Thank you.
Grade, annoying. Okay. well, amazing. Paul killed it. A little bit back and forth here. That was effing hilarious. You go, Paul Gallant. Awesome. All right, what's your weekend best?
So I was torn, and I wanted to say, hey, isn't it awesome that Clayton Kershaw can't help but think about the 2017 Astros when talking about his career? I reposted a video of him on the internet this weekend saying, man, he's talking about asterisks with the 2017 Astros. If only there was an asterisk for his 13-13 playoff record with a 4.65 ERA. I wanted to do that, but no. You know what? Screw the Dodgers. Screw Clayton Kershaw.
That's good. You just did it.
But I want to give it to J.J. Watt, baby. Because J.J. Watt is going full Texans radio.
He didn't even care.
On the CBS broadcast last night, talking about the Texans in the first person. Let's go.
Yeah, a whole lot of number 99s in attendance here at NRG Stadium. Iron Eagle, J.J. Watt. What's this been like for you? Just this perspective. You've played so many games here.
Yeah.
Broadcast booth.
It's been very strange to see this stadium from this perspective, to see the Jaguars having so much success against us and give them a ton of credit for what they've been able to do, what Liam Cohen's been able to do. But being on the field pregame with my son and my wife was very special, and it's a memory that I'll have forever.
Yeah, my man said us, straight up. Yeah,
let's go!
Why not?
And Jags fans were so mad about that. Oh, yeah. Boy.
As well as they would. As well as any fan base would.
That's what we... That was the only thing that we had as a little bit of happiness on Sunday. Oh, we got JJ on the call comeback.
How pissed you think he was that first half?
He probably thought about walking
whatever.
Out.
He tucked his red jacket. He packed his red jacket, put it under the table.
You can miss me with this freaking nonsense.
Tell you, man. He said, man, take my name down from up there, man. All right, weekend's worse. I'm going to say it. For me, it's myself. Ron Hughley. Some of you call me show. Some of you call me other things.
The showman.
Thank you, Bill. And I think my daughter may be listening. My weekend's worst was me.
What'd you do?
We had the family thing where we had daughters in a softball tournament out in Alvin. Son had flag football playoffs at Travis High School. We're all over the place. Daughter had 5 softball games. Get out there. She's got a break. She's got 2 more left. And I'm like, oh, her new bat. Arrived at the house. I said, oh, I'll go get it. I need to get my phone charger. Let me go do some things. Went to the house. Came back. Didn't even think about that bat until my wife said, oh, yeah, she's been warming up with this other bat. I mean, it left it on the porch. I went home and I did. Oh, she was hot.
Oh, no.
Oh, my daughter. They had been working on breaking it in and everything.
Oh, no.
And she had to use another little girl's bat again. But, I mean, I just left it on the porch. I didn't think about it.
Oh,
I
got no.
I had to take a dump. I'm just being straight up.
Oh, no, so.
I had to do a whole lot of stuff, and I just completely forgot about that bat. And so, baby, I'm sorry. That's on me. She did get a triple. A couple of triples after
Whoa.
That game.
All right.
But yeah, her bat just sitting on the porch right there. All right, your weekend's worse.
Was going to give it to Derek Stingley for that Facebook-ass post that he had where he's showing a video of the Joker, but he had the one-handed interception. Thought about giving it to Tyler Milner walking in studio probably with a pants tent for another Aggies win, but don't want to do it. I want you to have this, Tyler. Instead.
Again, he just did it.
A lot of Southern blood flow.
The worst of the weekend. The NFL played a game in Germany. I'm sorry. They started not one, but 2 world wars.
Okay.
My grandpa did not go over to Germany to liberate the world for football games to be played in Germany. F that.
So you're out?
Out. 9999.
Coming up, Dirty's Daily. We gotta chill the noise on this. This is... I don't like to tell people how to fan, but this is the dumb take. This is, you're wrong. You're just wrong. It's not an opinion. You're just wrong.
Unless you're right.
You're not. That's coming up next.